Vet Voice. Growing veterans. I can relate to Ken Olson's article, March, in a very personal way. Within a year of returning from my service in Vietnam with the Big Red One, I married and began to raise a family. Then the wheels started coming off with bad dreams. I didn't know what was happening and certainly knew nothing of PTSD. I sought help from a doctor who took me back to my childhood, but was unsuccessful at finding what was at the heart of the problem. My Italian grandmother, who had always raised a garden, asked if I would like a few tomato plants. I was reluctant at first, but I planted them and was on my way to healing. It grounded me. Today, 50-plus years later, I still raise vegetables and have ventured into hybridizing daylilies. There's a sense of peace and satisfaction. I offer my congratulations to Chris Brown and the team at Growing Veterans. They're doing wonderful work. Blair T. Smolder, Warren, Pennsylvania. I was tickled green to see this article. In 1996, I created a community garden in Cleveland with a Veterans Memorial area. I tried early on through the Wade Park VA to ask other veterans to join in, but it ignored my requests. For 21 years, I persevered in this gardening program and handed the reins over last summer. We received city awards several times, and I'm glad to say it's still going strong. I know that dirt therapy works well, and I also do sewing therapy. Stabbing a needle into fabric is therapeutic. Too bad our hospitals don't offer that, too. Janice Lashko, Cleveland. A Lifetime of Healing. I enjoyed the article on Father Phil Salois, March, a Navy veteran during the Vietnam War. I grew up in Attleboro, Massachusetts, and visited the La Salette Shrine many times. Father Phil is an inspiration to all veterans, as he kept his word to God. Gary A. Pouliote, Attleboro, Massachusetts. In addition to his many other offices, Father Phil is National Chaplain of the Vietnam Veterans of America, and I have met him at two VVA national conventions. He is a most remarkable man with a most remarkable story, and I feel all the richer for having encountered him. Timothy M. Sigia, East Hartford, Connecticut. Benefits for Guard and Reserves. I'm a retired Command Chief Master Sergeant for the Air Force Reserve, 30 years removed, and still see issues of discrimination persist for members of the Guard and Reserve. I filed for education benefits from VA in 1970, and VA's response was that I was ineligible because my orders said active duty for training, although I was in and out of Vietnam between 1966 and 1975. After 38 years and much frustration and aggravation, I finally got VA to provide disability for my prostate cancer. But it took a congressman and a sharp county veterans service officer to break the logjam. When I served at Air Force Reserve Headquarters as the 6th Command Chief, I decided to correct this injustice and made contact with numerous congressional delegations and representatives to no avail. Although our outgoing president and Congress made Reserve and Guard members veterans, it has had no bearing with VA bureaucrats. Somehow and some way, Congress needs to pass a bill that will include members of the Guard and Reserve as veterans for VA benefits, regardless of the length of tour or verbiage in their orders. Richard E. Russell, Crestview, Florida. When George Washington was assembling his army, he had no standing force with which to begin. Militias were put together from various colonies, and these volunteers had lives that dictated the length of their service. Though some had to leave at planting time or harvest time, many stayed on. The sacrifices were great, and the reward was even greater. We have a great nation founded on freedoms citizens of no other nation can claim. Washington did his best to ensure that every volunteer was rewarded for his or her service to our fledgling nation. In the 21st century, we have left that behind. So many do not know the sacrifice of being in the reserve or guard. When our nation calls, these young patriots are quick to respond. They ask only to be treated the same as their fellow service members. I feel it is time for a change. If a young man or woman joins the National Guard or Reserve Force, he or she should be eligible for full benefits after 1 year of affiliation with a unit. This means 100% GI Bill for everything. On the active side, all of the GI Bill should be theirs from the day they report to recruit training. It will cost money, but if I had to choose between wasting money on a testament to man's stupidity or showing our young service members that we are committed to taking care of them, the choice is easy. James Dawson, Elwood, Indiana. A Heart for the American Legion. I have read and reread Jeff Stauffer's article about Jeremy Ehart and his wife Christy, February. I am with Alamo Detachment 315 of the Marine Corps League in San Antonio, and we have a program that tries to assist wounded Marines and Navy corpsmen who are patients at Brooke Army Medical Center. My wife Shirley and I visited with Jeremy and Christy several times while he was recovering from his burns. We spent several hours talking to Christy about what they needed and how we could help them. They said that what they really wanted was a Bible for each of them to read. We went out and purchased each of them a white Bible. I am glad to see both of them are doing so well after Jeremy's accident. I always wonder how those who have been patients at Brooke are doing now, and hope they and their families are getting the support they need. Robert Otto, San Antonio. Youth Police Camp. Thank you for the article by Steve Brooks, Rapid Fire March, about this program. It seems clear to me that adapting this program for high schools across the country would teach obvious lessons about the nature and importance of law enforcement, the kinds of careers it offers, respect for police, and how police support communities. It should make recruitment of police officers easier. Paul Kessler, Notre Dame, Indiana. Editor's note. The March Focus on Finances column, How USAA Eligibility Has Evolved, Rapid Fire, failed to mention that USAA welcomed Coast Guard officers in 1928. Today, all who serve or have served honorably in the Coast Guard are eligible for USAA membership. The American Legion magazine welcomes your opinions. Include your hometown and a daytime phone number for verification. All letters published are subject to editing. Due to the volume of mail received, not every letter can be acknowledged. The American Legion Magazine, P.O. Box 1055, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46206, magazine@legion.org.